I don't know if you guys know this, but when you cut the hair of a Barbie doll or a Cabbage Patch kid, for example, it doesn't grow back.
No.
Okay.
Turns out it doesn't. Tried it with a couple of mine when I was a kid because I wasn't certain. One was not enough of a science experiment. Had to do a couple just to be certain. Doesn't grow back. If you do it to kids' hair, though, you desperately hope it grows back. Uh-huh. You desperately hope. Now, I saw this great article yesterday of some photographs of parents whose kids had done their own work with scissors. So they said the kids were a bit quiet for a moment. They came out. Next thing you know, this kid is sporting his haircut. Basically, their little boy has cut their little girl's hair and gone in with a few of those tracks.
So low that they
got a few tracks on one side. And then the rest is sort of just chopped in a way where basically the haircut was so bad that they've had to take her to the hairdressers to get it fixed. And the only thing that they could do was basically give her a haircut that looks like I'd like to speak to the manager. Because they had to do...
like from the First World War, short back and sides.
They had to do like up on one side where he'd kind of given her those tracks and then like down heavy fringe on the front and on the side. It's very lopsided because it's all they could manage. Mm. And I thought, won't it be fun if you share your kids' hair disasters? So whatever happened to them? Because they happened very easily.
Wait, if I remember my Heloise, the trick to getting out gum is peanut butter. There. Now that gum should lift right out.
Now, I'm sure there's plenty of stories of gum in the hair. Yeah. I mean, in our household, you hit me as soon as you said everything went quiet for a little while and then bang. Because that's generally what happens. For us, it's the two girls and it's generally things will go quiet for a little while. And then usually it's Mila will start getting upset and screaming and then Isabella will run out having done something.
Right.
And in this case, Isabella, she had a set of crinkle cut scissors.
Are they the safe ones?
No. So these ones are like, yeah, we've taught them how to use scissors. So they use the normal ones, but these ones have got a crinkle cut shape in them. So you can, like, the edge of a ravioli on paper.
Yes, you can make cool paper shapes.
Anyway, she's taken to Mila's hair with the crinkle cut scissors. And I've walked in and I've tried not to laugh because you looked at Mila's hair and there's a crinkle cut line.
That's so cute.
It's kind of cute, except when your 5-year old sitting there losing her mind because her sister's cut her hair.
But it's what all the best salons are doing now. Oh, the crinkle. It's so 2022.
Rhiannon in Rockingham, share your kid hair disaster.
My mum had planned to take me and my sisters to a professional photo shoot the next day and had a few friends over that night. And I got a bit distracted in my mum's bedroom after watching my dad shave his head all the time. I decided to bypass the scissors this time and go straight for the razor.
Oh, Rhiannon.
Did you do your whole head? How far did you get?
I did like a good 2-3 inches from the forehead back.
Oh, wow.
The Captain Picard.
Well done.
We have some embarrassing photos of me wearing a hat that looks like someone's curtains. I don't know.
So you did still do the family photo shoot, but you wore a hat and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
I had
excellent.
A whole different outfit this time.
Nice one.
Janine in Caversham, what happened with you?
Hello, good morning. How are you going?
Good. Thanks.
Well, I didn't quite take to the scissors. I decided Mum was out at the washing line and I was about to start school for the first day of school, and I've taken to the hair remover and popped it all on the top of my head, and basically the whole top of my beautiful ginger curly hair was now bald on the top of my head.
Oh.
Just that, what's it called?
Wow.
Depilatory cream? I've already forgotten what it's called.
It was a cream, was it?
No, Nair.
Yeah, like Nair, the old school hair remover. Whoa.
And I had a basically a line that she could pull back to make it look like I didn't, I basically had a piggy tail but with a bald cat.
Oh, not a bad look in some suburbs, yeah. Actually. Good to know that Nair works.
G'day, John.
G'day. So my dad's a professional hairdresser and my brother got hold of his scissors. Now, long story short, my sister had hair down to her bottom in two lovely pigtails, and my brother decided to cut off both the pigtails, walk up to dad and tell him, look what I did. So dad ended up fixing it, and my daughter had a mullet. That was one of the first girls to have a mullet, but strangely enough, we still have the pigtails 20 years later.
Oh, do you? That's gorgeous.
Still have them.
Are they still? Do they still feel like they? Do they still feel like hair?
Yes, they do.
Silly question. But they're very brittle. So after a while, it actually starts to break down because she had two pigtails, two lucky bands either side. The actual hair starting to be so brittle that if you pick it up, it's actually starting to break.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's quite cool. And the pigtails are probably 40 centimetres long.
Gee whiz.
Gee. So, yeah. You really did a number on her, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Use it as a tow rope.
Pete, Matt and Kimber!
Hey, guys, the wedding of the century, I mean, I know it's only been a short century so far, but the wedding of the century has taken place in the last sort of 24, 48 hours. It's the Beckham wedding, the young Beckham wedding.
Brooklyn Beckham and Nicola Peltz are married.
Amazing.
The eldest son of Victoria and David Beckham and the 27-year-old actress tied the knot at her family's estate in Palm Beach, Florida.
We love our kids and we want the best for them.
Now,
I know time flies, but I thought his kids were still playing like under 14.
Oh, yeah. No, they're older now.
Far
out. Their own life.
Do I know the actress wife? Should I? What film would I know her from or something?
It's a great question.
I'll do some research. Do some research.
That'd be great. Thank
Peltz.
You, Kimber, if you could. Peltz? Yeah. With a Z?
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Funny to hear that audio, though. Like, you know, whenever the suggestion came up for us, myself and my wife Liz, to have our wedding at home, it would be to save money.
Yeah.
They had their wedding at the Beckham Estate, the parents, and still managed to spend $3 million on this wedding.
Is that because she's the super successful American actress from the A&E drama series Bates Motel?
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no,
yep.
Well done to you. You get a ding. But it's extraordinary to watch this wedding unfold. So obviously, you know, they are the glamour couple of the UK, right? Still after all this time. I'm talking about the senior Beckhams, David Beckham. And, you know, they had all the stars rock up, of course. But the things that happened throughout that event were just extraordinary. You know, stars playing songs and the music that was played, the extravagance of the event. The fact
they don't want to offend any of their rich friends. Like,
of course
not. You know, when you're deciding who's going to play and you have the plethora of musicians that you could choose.
Plethora.
You don't want to upset them.
Well, most of us would get Blake's band in, right?
Yeah,
to
play at our wedding.
We get proof in.
Our Blake.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, like, I saw this and had the what do you get the couple that has everything. Because he's from money. She's from money as well.
Oh, you don't want to be a part of that wishing well.
Her
I don't want to have to put that in a card.
$2 billion her family is worth.
Pelts.
Yeah.
Are they into furs?
I don't know. But they got them a 1958, I think it's a Jag, like a powder blue Jag, 1958, cost $870,000.
Should have got them a newer car.
Yeah, no, you'd think so, right? But no, absolute classic. There was one thing that I read that was a part of this, and granted, it's not unusual, but it's what I would like to ask, and it's under this.
We got one!
Because for me, these sorts of things are for the rich, and that's the only time that I've ever heard or seen of them.
Yes.
They've got one of the most extraordinary prenuptial agreements to have ever been crafted.
Oh, really?
Right, because obviously she's from money, the $2 billion on her side. He's from money.
Sure.
You know, it's the Beckhams.
The Beckhams.
Should
right.
be the most cut and dry prenup ever. Like,
right.
it should be, if they've got that much money each, it should be really clear, right?
Yeah.
Like,
you keep yours and I'll keep mine.
Me. Well, yeah. I guess, you
but
know.
What about David?
How far,
Victoria.
How far does it all go back?
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, how far does it go back up into the families and where they've got into, you know, all that sort of thing. When you've got that much money, you've got that many people that are working for
that's
you.
That's true.
That are, you know, investing your money in things and putting your money over here and there and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a big deal. By the way, the dad, Peltz, is a hedge fund manager. So
okay,
lots of money.
I'm pro prenup.
Are you?
In Australia, we don't have prenuptial agreements, apparently. They're called binding financial agreements.
Oh, yes.
Costs you somewhere in the vicinity of $2,500 up to make that, to put it in place.
Right.
I'm all over it. I don't think it's for the rich. I think it's for the smart.
Yeah, no.
I think it's for the smart. I would not get married without a prenup.
Well, I grew up in the family where, you know, with the values of why do you need a prenup?
If you're never going to get,
We're never going to get divorced. If you like, I know you say never.
Oh, no, it's very sweet. We're never going to get divorced. Gorgeous. Right? I just am someone who goes, nope, I'm making sure I'm not homeless at 50.
Yeah.
Sure, of course.
It's a really serious issue where women can't afford their own houses and stuff. And so I take care of me and it is just my priority.
And particularly if you're, you know, you've reached a point in your life, as you have, where, you know, you've set yourself up in that way. You deserve the right to go, well, I've done this myself and I want this, you know, no matter what happens.
Yeah. I don't want to feel insecure later because I'll be honest, I haven't had a relationship that has worked out.
Yeah.
See, like, so far, every relationship I've been in has ended, right? Like,
fair
to say.
And that's fair.
So I'm kind of like, James still sticking in there,
good
honey.
On you, bro.
Hold on tight, buddy.
For us, you know, I mean, all the relationships out of our families, touch wood, have. And we've had the benefit of you get married because you're going to stay with that person for the rest of your life. So, you know, there's always been the air or that pall of, we don't bring up prenuptial agreement because we're kind of sort of putting the horse before the cart.
Well, your lot will get punished by God if you break up.
Well, we would. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll get someone, though.
Well, this is what I'm curious about, right?
So gone down this route.
You know, you feel very strongly about it. I would love to hear from somebody this morning.
We got one!
If you've got a prenup and why you got a prenup. Big, small, we'll take them all. How does it work? What's the process?
I think it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm totally cool if you don't get a prenup because I also love that thing of going, yeah, we're in it and there's no reason to question this. But I also think that it shouldn't be frowned upon.
No.
When people go, I'm just being cautious because I want to protect myself. And to be perfectly honest, if someone asked me, if my partner said to me, I want a prenup, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, because what's yours is yours. Mm. You're cool. Like whatever you've earned before, we've been together and knock yourself out.
No, we did get one.
Just one, full of romantics, this city.
Well, it is just the one, but it's enough. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how's it going?
We're good. Aaron, you got yourself a prenup.
Well, sort of, you know. I got into a new relationship with my partner now, and coming in, she's got money.
Yes.
And she's older than me, so her family, everyone around her was really worried about the fact that, you know, these younger guys coming into her life. And I just said to her straight away, you know, I'm open to signing a prenup if that makes you and everyone feel safer and happy. So
oh, good for you. And did you find that people were more relaxed once you'd made that offer?
Well, yes and no. But in reality, she went to get the prenup signed, and the lawyer just said, well, you don't really need one because, you know, if it ends in a year, because everyone's saying, oh, you know, be with them for 6 months to a year and then they can take all your money.
Mm.
And they just said, well, you know, the courts aren't that stupid, you know.
No.
Nothing's going to happen. So it didn't really eventuate, but... I don't really see the issue in it.
It's removed the complication, really, isn't it? Because part of me goes, I know that it sounds like it's not very romantic, but the other part of me goes, well, I think there's romance in the fact that you go, hey, I don't deserve whatever happened in your life before me. Like, I don't, if you've made money or you've done something, it's not mine. I'm okay with going, this makes it more comfortable. It shows that I'm in this legitimately. And there's no other, you know.
And as I was just talking to you guys about doing a will, if you don't do these things, then the conflict and misery that can come after someone passes or after you break up surely is far worse than a little bit of uncomfortable chat, you know, before you sign the prenup.
I got to admit, if I had no money and I was coming into Liz having a heap of money, I'd sign whatever the hell she wants. Couldn't care less. It's romantic when we both don't have money. But yeah. There are situations. This is one from the, oh my God, we're there file.
Yeah.
Right. So don't know if you might have caught the news story on it last night. You certainly did, Maddie, because we were just sort of like remarking over this thing this morning. But overseas, San Francisco, footage has been has surfaced today or in the last 24 hours of police officers pulling over. Ooh, hello.
San Francisco is the place to be.
Hello. Oh, God, that's going to be replayed for the rest of my career. Yeah. Pulling over a self-driving car.
Isn't it amazing?
It is incredible. So let me set the scene for you. It's got plenty of people around who actually started watching this take place, but it's the evening. It's sort of like a very busy district, restaurant district in San Francisco.
Ain't nobody in it.
So that's people telling the police officers nobody's there. So at this point, they've pulled this car over. Now, this car has stopped.
Yes.
Once it's recognised that the cops have pulled it over.
Right.
And then one of the police officers has gotten out. They've had a bit of a look around and gone, okay, self-driving car. Now, at this point, it's a fairly dangerous intersection that this self-driving car has pulled itself over into. There's plenty of people around, plenty of cars around. What it does is it takes off again around about 50 metres or so forward, past an intersection to a much safer place. It then pulls in.
It pulls itself off.
To a side.
Incredible. It
pulls itself into a side street, flicks its hazard lights on.
Wow.
And then waits for the police officers to catch up again so they can do what they have to do.
And what had the car been doing, do we know?
We don't know what the car had been doing.
When the cops got there, sorry, officer. I don't know what I was thinking.
Sorry, it was its headlights were off.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
Okay, hang on. It can pull itself over. It knows when it's in a dangerous situation. It can turn on its hazard lights, but it forgot to put on its lights.
Yes,
when it
headlights
drove.
Were off. Yeah, yes. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah.
The only way that could have been better is if it just self-destructed. Yeah. You know, like the cops go up to it and it just disappears.
Well, I don't know. We didn't see the other bit of the footage.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's this crazy world we live in at the moment happening.
To be honest, I lived in a time where I was like, I don't want self-driving cars. This is ridiculous. We're all getting too stupid.
Yes.
But with the number of people that have driven into my car because they can't park in a car park,
yes.
I'm sort of like, you know what? More self-driving cars. Take it out of the hands of the humans.
Oh, I would love it. I would love to wake up at 4 in the morning and get in the back seat and go, get me there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm basically doing that anyway.
You think you know yourself, and then you realise, oh, there's so much more going on.
Okay.
There's so much going on. Not in my social life. Because I've been a bit quiet. Like, you know, I must admit, I'm not keen to go out and get COVID. So I've just been kind of sticking to myself a bit. Especially while we're on holidays because I went, I don't want to spend my time off not being well.
Yeah.
So I've been at home doing some projects, but I've become obsessed with building my woman cave.
Oh,
it's not a euphemism.
Okay.
It is actually my garage.
Okay. Yep.
I am well into this. The garage used to be a place that I parked my car, right? The garage is now basically my one-stop shop, workshop, everything.
Can you still park your car in there?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's getting close.
All right.
So,
I've been working on it solidly for about 4 days.
Yeah.
And I'm going home every day and every day I am just folding up tarps, moving things, putting together. I've bought proper shelving.
Shelving.
I'm building these big shelving units.
Yes.
I've even, on the wall, now got one of those, like a piece of wood corkboard thing so that I can draw around my tools.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
do that.
I can draw around my tools. I've got them all hanging up. Put screws up in the walls.
Have you got any sort of block mounts or signs up? You need to put signs up, like ladies only.
Chiquito lady, the bikini lady on the motorbike.
Yeah, need that sort of stuff
Chico
going
roll.
Up.
Chico roll, yeah.
I'm very curious, though, as to the reason. Is it at your house?
Yeah.
Right, so what's going on with the rest of your house? Because traditionally the man cave is a posse that the bloke gets because the lady has the rest of the house. So what's going on at your house?
Because I'm not limited by those things and I can have everything.
Oh, okay. That's the discussion had in the woman
cave.
Right.
What happens, guys? If you never get married, you can do whatever you like.
It's so true. It's sad.
Live the
so
dream,
true.
Guys. Live the dream. Right. You can. And when you don't have kids, too, because you can go home, you've got plenty of time. So I have set up this garage. It is epic now. I'm like, there are proper places for all sorts of. I've got the leaf blowers. I've got the tools set up. I've got my hedge trimmers all. I'm actually getting really excited about it.
It sounds wonderful, but let me say to you that if you're living a life where you've got the time to draw an outline around where your hammer goes, mm-hmm. you need to take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I could have been out, like, I could have been wiping bums and nappies, and I could have been doing loads of washing.
Or doing what I've been doing, which is taking Blackpool, a League One, a League One side into the European leagues on PlayStation 4. Okay?
Are you obsessed? Are you in? Is that what you're doing with most of your day?
Well, this is how obsessed I am by it. I just walked into Padgy's office, mm-hmm. our wonderful sound engineer, and spoke to him about what I'm doing on PlayStation as if it was fact.
As if it's a game.
As if it's just happened.
Join us. What are you obsessing over right now? What are you nerding out on? Because sometimes you're like, look, you know, the world's a bit bleak and whatever. I'm not up to exciting stuff every day, but it's exciting to be interested in something. Yes. Like I'm like, it might just be a PlayStation, it might just be a garage, but I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
I'm holding it right now. What I'm obsessing over, it's this thing. It's a
an invisible pen.
No, this is an
it's not invisible. Obviously.
This is an Apple Pencil.
Oh.
An Apple Pencil.
Oh no.
For drawing
on
a screen.
Is that Apple Pencil there about $5 million?
Oh, it's a couple hundred bucks. For a pencil.
Do you have to sharpen it?
No, you don't. Okay. That's the best part about
it.
Gee,
I like that.
God, no, can I just say,
I'm
obsessed. So I bought an iPad over the holidays.
Yeah.
Okay. And this Apple Pencil thing, I can't put it down because I just love the way that you get to write stuff using this pencil. So, like, I'm just going to show you guys.
With a pencil.
Rewatch this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just pencil to screen.
Yes.
And... Oh, God, it's not. Oh, no,
didn't
don't
work.
Do it. Oh, it's not working. No!
Tell us what you're obsessing over at the moment.
God, Apple products suck.
Stewie and Byford, good morning to you, mate. What are you nerding out over?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, brother.
Good, mate. How you been?
Good, good, good. Well, you know I've got a bit of an extensive Hot Wheels collection from past conversations.
You do love the Hot Wheels, yes.
Well, that's now grown to 4,500 cars.
What?
And I'm now doing customization of the cars.
Oh, here we go. Oh. See, you're speaking my language here because I collect mini figurines, Stewie, the ones that you use in games like Warhammer 40,000 and tabletop games, basically, and spend ages just in the garage painting these little things as well. Really? Yeah. Well, so this is the fun part.
We actually drill the rivets out, pull the cars apart, strip off all the paint, repaint all the interiors, repaint all the exteriors, put new stickers on it, and even make 3D printed characters and stick on the car, and 3D printed motors and stick on the car and stuff like that.
Wow.
That's wild.
And with over 4,500 cars, you've got more stock than John Hughes.
Yeah, basically, but I've got them all in one bedroom.
Gee whiz, mate, that's wild. Thanks, Stewie.
No worries, guys.
Of course, I, as I always do, spent my holiday, my week off down in Denmark, and I had a very David Attenborough week.
Ah.
I saw some very interesting things, which I'd like to talk to you about. Mm. The first was a strange creature, a sort of older, middle-aged man who's lost his way called Captain Paul.
Oh, how is Captain Paul?
He's awesome. He and I had one of those... Old. If anyone doesn't remember Captain Paul, of course he was our traffic man for forever here on Mix.
Yep,
retired
used to be
a few
up in
years
the plane.
Ago.
Yep.
Part of his retirement was about highlighting bowel cancer screening because he'd had a big op to get rid of some bowel cancer, and he's looking great.
Excellent.
So he's good, and we had a good old fashioned sing along. Just he and I until about 1 a.m. around the piano singing. All sorts of weird and wonderful songs. So he's wonderful, and I'm sure he sends his love. I was walking, though, and I saw these the gnarliest mushrooms I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, now we find out why he goes to Denmark.
Mushrooms, eh?
No, oh, no. The old mushies down in Denmark, hey,
but
man.
I saw them and I thought, gee, they look
tasty.
Bad.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
They look nasty, right? Yeah. And I did a bit of research and they are the Amanita marmorata, known as the marble-topped death cap.
The marble-topped death cap.
And they were discovered in the Denmark region. They are a family of death caps. And I know it is an appropriate name because they are highly, highly toxic.
Ah.
And they are weird-looking things that are a big white mushroom, but then it looks like some teenager's gone and tagged with silver spray paint.
Oh, they're like chromed.
They look very weird and they are nasty.
Oh, nasty. So how did you know? Did you, like, you just Googled in weird silver mushroom?
Well, I tell you what, I did. I put in fungi of the great southern region and the first article that came up was about this scientist in Denmark who discovered this species 25 years ago.
Oh, so did you bag some up and bring them back? Or?
No, I didn't. I got the hell away from them because they look, and of course the thing about the death cap, same with the family that grows on the East Coast, the unfortunate part of it is that early in their life cycle, they look like the straw mushrooms that is quite prominent in Asian cuisine.
Oh, no.
And that has been a problem with people losing their lives because they are nasty.
Wow.
Right? Then, after going through my fungi moment, I went over to Captain Paul's place to get a surfboard on the roof, and the biggest spider I've ever seen in my life.
They breed them big. Incy
wincy spider. Oh, no, man.
No.
This was a wolf spider.
Wolf,
I don't know if you've ever seen
huge.
A wolf spider. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, we all know the huntsmen's are like, okay, I got to get that out of the house. This thing was so big and hairy. Like, if it was on the passenger side of your car, it would set off the seatbelt alarm.
Wow, that's huge.
It was a monster, and it was not happy.
You know what? Those spiders as well, when you go to crush them, you feel everything.
Oh, yes.
You know,
oh,
like
God,
you feel everything
that.
And you hear everything.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, if it's a spider, no, you're gone. No.
If this was in your hand luggage, you'd be paying more for extra weight.
Oh.
It was enormous. We didn't kill it. We brushed it away and said, please go
give
away
the spider
somewhere.
Some mushrooms.
Wow. That could create a super being.
Yeah, that maybe it's a terrible idea.
Anyway, that was my sciencey weekend.
Oh, good. It's
great. Pretty good.
Great science chat.
Yeah, the marble top death cap. Stay clear of those. Beat, Matt and
Kimber. Dolly Parton, the wonderful Dolly Parton.
Oh, Jolene, Dolly. Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. She's wonderful.
Great voice.
And
hilarious.
Ageless.
Yeah.
Ageless. Absolutely timeless. I love a Dolly Parton interview. I absolutely love it. And, I mean, for me in particular, this is one of the all-time classics.
You're probably wondering why I'm dressed like this. Well, it's for my husband's birthday. My husband always loved the original cover of Playboy, so I was trying to think of something to do to make him happy.
When she dresses a Playboy bunny for her husband.
It's
And they've
awesome.
Been married forever, haven't
55
they?
55 years.
Yeah,
they've been married all that time, and most people don't even know she's got a husband.
Mm.
That's what I love about Dolly, because she's managed to go through all her life without all these people, you know, the celebrity mags, and everyone jumps on this, like, who your husband is and what it's all about. She's made in a career that is just her.
Oh, it's glorious.
Awesome.
And so it should be as well. She's wonderfully talented. She's an absolutely beautiful woman, and she's great. But in case you've been wondering, you know, how she manages to keep it all together, because she's quite a hectic schedule.
Mm.
She's actually done her latest interview talking about some of the routines and such that she goes through and what time she wakes up and so on and so forth. And it's actually quite hectic, and it caught my attention. But the issue that I have is it's a written interview, and usually we play audio grabs of these particular interviews. Now, this morning I said to you, Kimber, can you do a deep southern accent? A la Dolly Parton. What was your answer to this?
I believe I said the only accent I'm capable of doing is my own.
Well, you didn't even say that. You just went, no.
Oh, I'm terrible with accents. You guys know this. I've just got no chance.
And then in comes the National Institute of Dramatic Acting himself.
Old mate Dutinsky was in the corner desperately waiting for you to step forward. In fact, I really am great at the deep southern accent, but I wanted Matt to have a chance.
So, Maddie, I'm going to throw to this audio, okay, in inverted commas. Of course, you'll hear the classic before I do so.
Okay.
If you could humour me, please.
So, yes, sure.
Yes, the 76-year-old songstress told Insider, this is who she was talking to, that she rises well before dawn. She's eager to make the most of the morning.
I go to bed early. Oh, sorry.
A little thing.
I do declare, I go to bed pretty early. But even if I've been up late, it's just kind of like a little clock inside of me that says, it's 3 o'clock.
Amazing. So she gets up at 3 a.m. She gets up at 3. I don't know why
it's
you're
like,
laughing.
Because it's that a little was, bit streetcar named audio. Desire, but I'm totally in.
It was Dolly Audio.
Dolly Audio.
It was
very
Dolly
good.
Audio. There's no Matt going on there. 3 a.m. she gets up every morning. Yeah. And gets stuck into it. Never feels tired, does she?
No, I don't require as much sleep as a lot of other people do. It's kind of a part and family trait. I'm like my daddy. He was always up early, even if he had to go to bed late.
She's incredible. Absolutely. I'm sorry. She's amazing. Absolutely amazing. But you know what I love the most about her? I kind of feel like she's becoming the new Betty White. I feel like she's taking the place of Betty White. You know how Betty White was the wonderful grandma lady, older, you know, had a bit of spunk to her, a bit of sass, but we just absolutely put our arms around her and we love you, Betty White. Unfortunately, lost Betty White. God, it was the last year. It was last year we lost Betty White. Yeah. So she's slowly taking her place and, you know, with that cheeky glint in her eye that she's really starting to get, she rounded it out like this, of course.
I do spend ample time cozied up in bed. In fact, I get some of my best work done there.
Oh, my God.
I love her.
Isn't she wonderful?
I love her.
She's wonderful. Dolly Parton, bless you. Thanks, Maddie.
Pleasure.